had an opportunity to take in the big three.
Well, I have had a chance to attend one event, and I was very impressed with the production, the promotion of it, and all of the marketing. Ice Cube and his staff have done a wonderful job. On the other hand, I think it's up for the players and the product to improve.
Rick Bucher. Bucher.
I've watched it. I have not attended. I've watched it. I've seen plenty of promotion on social media. I've talked to Al Harrington and Steven Jackson, Kenyon Martin about their participation. Seems to be, like, it has the chance to be the master, the golf version of the master circuit.
This is the BJ Armstrong and Rick Bucher Show, starring BJ and Bucher. Bucher.
Welcome to the 46th episode of the BJ and Bucher podcast, Four Quarters of Madness. I am Rick Bucher. He is BJ Armstrong. Our special guest today for the fourth quarter will be none other than the 19th pick from Wake Forest. John Collins comes from the Virgin Islands, went to Wake Forest, now going to play for Mike Budenholzer. You can connect the dots. Yeah, he's not Tim Duncan. Not Tim Duncan. Probably not going to be Tim Duncan, but a lot of similarities to the Tim Duncan story. And that's one of the things he and I got into, talking about following that path and whether it was intentional, and how does he feel just simply about naturally all of the, I don't know if it's comparisons, but having followed the same path. But the path that I want to get on right now, BJ, first of all, welcome. Glad to have you. We talked about the 3v3 league a little bit the last time around.
That's
We've had the championship now. My biggest question, BJ, is when are we going to see? We saw Charles Oakley. We saw Vintage. We saw Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. BJ Armstrong. We're going to see BJ Armstrong making a cameo when it comes to the 3-on-3?
You know, Rick, BJ Armstrong, that guy that you're talking about 25, 30 years ago, Rick, he doesn't exist anymore. That guy.
Where'd he go? Where'd he go?
Running around, doing all those things. Rick, he doesn't exist anymore. Those days are over with. I'm sitting behind the mic. Yeah. I'm talking about the game.
And you're holding a baseball bat.
And I'm holding a bat just in case somebody like you try to get me to go back out there. Because, Rick, them days are over with. See, some of the players coulda, woulda, shoulda. Look, Rick, I left it there. Left it right there. I ain't never coming back to that.
All right, so let's go to the first quarter and start with our NBA news. That was our warm-up, our layup line. And we have seen Kobe Bryant on social media. It's become the Mamba Challenge. And what I love is that I think he put one out there for Isaiah Thomas. Then the next thing I see is Giannis Antetokounmpo saying, Kobe, I'm waiting for my Mamba Challenge. That's when you know you have something. When the audience comes to you and asks for your product. So good on Kobe, and good on Giannis. And Kobe put out there MVP. He wants Giannis shooting for MVP. Now, somebody from Wizards Talk put out there, what's the Mamba Challenge for John Wall? He said first team all defense. Before we get into the ins and outs of Giannis MVP and John Wall first team all defense, what do you think, BJ, about just the idea that Kobe is taking this position of a guy who can put challenges, individual challenges, to players that are in the league right now?
It reminds me of this story when I first came in the league. You know, the
story dream, time with BJ. This is my favorite part of the podcast.
The dream of getting to the NBA was something that I played with every day. You know, as a kid, eighth grade, ninth grade, my work was, I just want to get there. I want to get there. I got to college. I just want to get there. And I remember my first day of practice when I was there. Now what? Why are you here? Are you just happy to be here? And I remember having to organize myself to say, now that I'm here, what am I going to do? And I remember we were at an exhibition game my rookie year, and I'm sitting down talking to Michael, and I was like, this guy had already been in the league. And I asked him, man, what do you play for? And he said to me, and I remember, and I still do it to this day. He said, I find something every single day to challenge myself. Every day, I find a reason. So he was like, he had a ball boy go get us the game notes. I don't know if they still do that. Remember the game notes, Rick, that they would give you before?
Yeah, before they, every still game? They still kill 1,000 trees in order to and put it out.
And he was like,
I don't even know if anybody reads.
No. But listen to this. Michael would read the game notes to find some reason to go at Rick Bucher. Yeah. Rick Bucher said he's having the best week of his life and he feels that he should be an all-star. And right. Michael, and I was like, well, what is that? He was like, well, how's he going to be an all-star and he's playing against me? Every game, he would read the game notes or the paper or something to find a way to have a reason to go at you. And he would hit. So I thought, wow, I got to find ways to get myself fired up. But the thing that was most impressive about it, so I was like, okay, what if you can't find anything? He was like, BJ, this is what being a pro is all about. You have to organize your life and your game to fit into the framework of the team and what you're trying to do individually so that you can continue to add something new every year to your game. Right. Now, here these guys are professionals. Some of them have been in the league 3, 4, 5 years, and I find it very interesting that a guy like Kobe, who's now just organizing your game, he's organizing your life. And suddenly now we're talking about something that I assume that everyone did this. Right. To find out that guys aren't doing this is like, but again.
Yeah, I don't know that it's, I don't necessarily take it that they're not doing it. I don't think that Giannis doesn't have.
You mean to tell me, hold on. You mean to tell me, especially the point guard position.
Right.
John Wall's never thought about being.
I don't know if he has or not. That didn't come from John Wall.
You can't tell me that Giannis. What Kobe is really saying to him is the following. Okay, you have this talent.
Right.
We've seen your talent. Can you be the best player on the best team? That's all he's really saying. Look what we're doing with the MVP voting now. The best player on the best team should be the MVP of the league. Now it's just the number with the
I don't know about that. That is your definition of MVP.
But
they've never defined what MVP is.
And here's the old man in me going to talk a little bit now. He's going to peek his head out. Dominique was a phenomenal player, phenomenal individual talent. I would love for the players of that era to have voted Dominique ahead of Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson and to see how turned up that would have been. Because to me, the disrespect of disrespecting the best player on the best team, but that's just the mentality of then to now.
Right.
Michael Jordan was averaging 37 points a night and didn't win the MVP that year because he wasn't the best player on the best team. And no one said a word because that was understood. Now you put up numbers. Oh, that's my boy. Rick Bucher's my boy. Wait a minute, Rick. He won 45, 50 games. That ain't how this worked, man. But it's a new era, and I'm going to evolve the way I look at it. But I'm going to maintain the principle of what it is I know that made this game special.
Right.
The best player on the best team is the MVP of the league.
All right, I want to hit one more topic before we.
But I'm not going to give it up, and I'm not leaving that alone, Rick. And I'm not going to allow people to tell me that those other guys, just because you put up numbers, the MVP of this league. I'm not going to allow that. I saw a guy average 37 a night, and he wasn't the MVP. 37, Rick. I saw a guy one time score 28 points.
Are you yelling at me?
Because Rick, I got to lower my standard to accommodate this nonsense.
All right, it's time for our second quarter. We have a guest, Taryn Tocci from Goldman Sachs. He's a vice president of investment management. And this dovetails when we're talking. We have John Collins from the Atlanta Hawks, brand new player in the NBA. And we got together with Terrence to talk about guys coming into the league, or anybody for that matter, that you suddenly have money. You have money that you didn't grow up with, money that you had not had previously. You are suddenly among the wealthy. What do you do with that money? How do you protect yourself rather than going out and buying everything that you think you can afford? How do you wisely take advantage of being in this new set, having this new lifestyle, and at the same time being responsible and setting yourself up for the future so that you get to continue to live that kind of lifestyle? We had that conversation with Terrence. Here it is. Enjoy. talking about money is something we do every day. And with the NBA draft, one thing is clear, is just as much about money as it is about basketball. Joining us this quarter is Mr. Terrence Tetsy, VP of Investment Management at Goldman Sachs in New York City, to share with us what newly drafted NBA players and those of us watching them become millionaires should know about managing the millions these young men will earn. So, Terrence, being drafted to the NBA is the equivalent of winning the lottery. Kids who are 19 to 23 years old who may never have seen $1 million before are instantly transformed into millionaires. And many of them will not know what to do with the money other than think of ways to spend it. In your opinion, what's the first thing athletes should be thinking about if they want to ensure that they're creating a long-term savings plan?
Well, that's a good question, Rick. And, you know, I want to thank you for allowing me to be on the show today. So one of the first things that I think these players should be thinking about is essentially creating a strong team of personal advisors or people that, you know, you can call your trusted advisors council. The basic understanding that over the course of their career, they're going to need, you know, a trustworthy accountant, a trustworthy attorney, and a trustworthy investment advisor. And usually these athletes are going to want to rely on one or two trusted family members or friends that they can always go to for sound advice. In creating this team or this created trusted advisors council, the athletes should also consider each person's background and skill set, because basically these people will ultimately help them make critical decisions throughout their career.
All right, so let's say that we have a newly drafted 20-year-old and he signs a contract that's worth $5 million a year for 3 years, which means that by the time he's 25, 26 years old, he's going to have earned $15 million before taxes. But the IRS, as we know, takes a big chunk of that. Can you explain how this money really breaks down without throwing out too many numbers?
Yes, absolutely. It's a lot of money. But what they need to know is exactly how much they have to spend. And so if you hear the number 15 million, you might think, oh, wow, I have 15 million to spend. Well, that's not true. After taxes, which, you know, for easy math, you could say about half of that money is gone due to taxes and going to the IRS. Mm-hmm. Then once you've paid your agent, probably paid a business manager or an investment advisor. And then, of course, you're going to buy some houses, some cars, perhaps you're going to take vacation. You need clothes, you need food. You might even, enjoy some material items. After you've kind of paid for all these things, essentially all these fees that have come out of the 15 million, you're probably going to be left somewhere between $3 million and $5 million. Hmm. And so what I try to point out to a lot of these athletes is that, listen, yes, you've earned $15 million, but you don't have $15 million to spend.
Yeah.
Right? And so in short, you should be able to work with your accountant or your investment advisor to understand just exactly how much money you can spend per year and still have money left over to be saved and invested properly. And one other point to note, I think some of these athletes, you know, they need to have the desire to understand their finances so that they can also make the informed decisions, because ultimately it's on them. This typically warrants having strong relationships with your investment advisor or your accountant and educate you on a regular basis, or educate the athlete, I should say, on a regular basis.
So if they're signing a contract that's going to pay them $15 million, they are indeed becoming millionaires, but they're becoming no more than a millionaire a year based on what you're saying that
yes.
$15 million translates into.
Yes.
Okay, so let's face it. Many of these kids are still going to go out and they're going to buy things that they've always wanted. This is their dream day. This is their dream job, dream opportunity. We hear stories all the time about athletes, and they make millions and then they go broke by the time their professional playing careers come to an end. What types of investments should they be thinking about, and how much of their money should they put into those investments?
Well, that's a great question as well, Rick. And I think most of this is going to depend on the athlete's level of, you know, what we call risk tolerance or suitability. And so, again, a good and trusted investment advisor can help the athlete think about ways in which to invest their money. Now, oftentimes you hear about startups, tech company deals, real estate deals, some of this venture capital or even hedge fund deals. These are all terms and terminology thrown around, which basically in our world fit into what we call alternative assets. And a good investment advisor will explain to you the appropriate percentage amount to invest in these areas. You know, some investors will educate you on ways to invest conservatively or more risky. But again, it really depends on the athlete's level of risk tolerance. Now, here at Goldman Sachs, you know, we have a robust team dedicated to evaluating thousands of these investment managers every year. The list is then narrowed down to a couple hundred of the best investment managers in the world. So our job is to ease the burden of trying to determine who and where to invest the money. The point being, essentially, as an athlete, you've already made a large amount of money, right? Again, you've already, quote unquote, won the lottery.
Right.
So why risk losing that money by investing in riskier assets when you can just practice protecting and saving that money and still live a fulfilled lifestyle? You know, oftentimes I always use the quote or, you know, the phrase like, listen, let's say you're up 20, 30 points in the fourth quarter with only 2 minutes left to go in the game. You know, are you going to continue to play your star athletes, or are you going to maybe take them and put them on the bench and bring in some of your other players to finish out the game? You know, you wouldn't want to risk any of your star players getting injured. So again, why risk making these risky investment deals when you've already earned, you know, millions of dollars?
So it would help if my cousin Al comes to me with a cat farm in Mexico that I should invest in, to have an investment advisor who might be able to tell me or take a look at it before I actually go down that road. I think that's what you're saying.
That is 1,000% correct. And again, it always goes back to having the trusted advisors team around you, or the trusted advisors council, you know, your personal people that you can go to for sound advice.
So in closing, Terrence, what do you want current and future professional athletes to take away from this conversation?
The first thing should absolutely be to save, and save some more. I want the athletes to really understand exactly how much money they have to spend. Just because you've earned, you know, quote unquote, $15 million doesn't mean you can spend $15 million. And the other thing, I think players and athletes should seek to have a good understanding of the fees, you know, how much things cost as a percentage terms and as a dollar terms. Something may cost $1 million, which you might be able to technically afford, but if it's 10% or 20% of your net worth, does that really make sense?
Right.
And so having a good understanding of exactly how much money you can spend, that will help you to determine what type of investments you should really be making. And then the last piece I'd say, always ask questions, right? This isn't, you know, this is new. This is new for you. This is new for your friends and family. Right. So you've got attorneys, you've got investment advisors, you've got a lot of folks coming at you. Just continue to ask questions and have people explain and educate you in simple terms. Basically, nothing we do here is rocket science. So if someone explains something to you and you don't understand, ask them to explain it again, because they should be able to explain it in layman's terms in a way that you can understand it.
Terrence, great stuff. Appreciate you sharing all that with us. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation. We need to pay off something that our man Shane put out there. Some of you, we put out a photo after the deal went down between the Celtics and the Cavs, Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas having a conversation. It was a photo, and we asked you to give us a caption. These were the best of the ones that were sent to us. C. Anthony PTRS said, Isaiah, this is Isaiah saying to Kyrie, man, these franchises ain't loyal. And Kyrie saying to Isaiah, hey, neither is LeBron. So that was pretty good.
Ooh.
At J Make said, this is Kyrie. You don't have to carry the team anymore, Isaiah. I got this team now. IT's response, I'm playing with LeBron, though. On Instagram, smart repair tech said, man, this is Isaiah. Man, what was so bad about playing with LeBron, bro? Kyrie, man, I was just tired of winning. And Von Monday had, apparently there was no response to this. This was just Isaiah Thomas saying to Kyrie, oh, yeah, you're going to like how flat the world is on this side, Kyrie. There you go. Those are the four responses. Now it's time for the halftime entertainment. Shane, our producer, take it away.
What are you doing? It's just a halftime.
Yes, this is my favorite part of the game.
Jack can sound like Kevin. 7654321. Come on, Metcalf, come and get some. Play of my position. Hot Nixon, this one. For all the sick ones, affliction. Poisonous, dark, sickly. Best believe, finger itching with two broke legs. Now I'm tripping on MC's cliche. Shot that ricochet, start triple bust bubble. Hip the wicked ways, gotta love me. G.O.D. no one above me. Look good, but ugly. Got your from up. Son and you got you in your last hunky running hoops. Punk get a speed pump coming through. A single make your love respect.
Yeah. Hey, yo, I put it on. Turn it into a certified sinner. The bomb I released, time pin up. When you got sent up, I was hitting your ex. Low petrol, your metro. Politic, keep the chicken heads gobbling. Them driving in, come with full collagen. Terrorize your city from the committee. Kick to both Timberlands, turn it. Smack the driver head in the gypsy. When I approach, rappers be taking notes. I drop like I should've invented the raincoat. Absolute, I love the burn to the roots. I keep to you pour from the boots. Vigilante, hardcore to the penis. You, my attitude is anemic.
I'm the illest nigga alive. Watch me prove it. I snapped your crown with your head still attached to it. Cannabis is the type to fight for mics. Beat us to death and beat a dead to life. When you look at me long enough, I start to read your thoughts if the signal was strong enough. And then I call your bluff like, yo, how many rhymes you got? I could go on for more millennia. The Mazda's got on the car lot. And there's nowhere to run to when I confront you. I call your bluff like you had a phone number. Who wanna see cannabis, you wow? Who wanna act flying, get shot down with a surface to air missile? I take them on and on, shape, size, and forms to spit on. Anybody who ain't close enough to 0 to 60, I'm already doing 100 when I'm and I give it to any.
Stay out the dark, cause if I catch you when the sun is down, run it, clown, come up off that. I'm gon' win it now. However it's gon' go, it's gon' be that. See that? That shit'll finish you, dog. Believe that. Where we at? Do you value your life as much as your possessions? Don't be a stupid. Learn a lesson. I'm gon' get you either way, and it's better to live. Let me get what's in your sock, cause it's better to give, to receive. Believe what I say when I tell you. Don't make me put you somewhere where nobody can smell you. And when the lights is out, they don't come back on. But say the flick, you ain't gon' come back on. Break that strong. Knew it was wrong. But you asked for it, baby. Use a pig.
Hope you enjoyed that. I know I did. And now it is the third quarter and time for our trivia challenge. 1984 NBA draft facts. Here we go, BJ. Which player on this list was not among the top 10 players drafted in 1984? Leon Wood, Kevin Willis, Otis Thorpe, or Lancaster Gordon? Which one of those four were not among the top 10? I can tell you right now, I would not get this one.
Kevin Willis came from Michigan State. I should know that. Leon Wood was a lottery pick. Who was the other two? Lancaster
Gordon? Otis Thorpe and Lancaster Gordon.
I'm going to say Lancaster Gordon.
That would be incorrect. Kevin Willis. Yep. But you know who drafted him, right?
I do not. Was it Portland?
No, Atlanta.
Oh, he all came right. in the league with Atlanta.
I gave you two shots there.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, how many players were drafted in 1984? A, 228, B, 208, C, 128, or D, 108? Yeah, Shane.
What?
Knock him out the box, stupid, Shane. Knock him out, Shane. Knock him out, Shane.
Am I allowed to do some math? Am I allowed to do some math or no?
No, you're not allowed to do any math. What are you, analytics guy? What is it? What are you, the analytics guy radio now? Make a guess like the rest of us.
3%. Give me the numbers again.
228. 228, 108.
What was the first two numbers? 228, 208?
228, 208.
Oh, so I want to say there was seven rounds. I'm going to say 208.
That would be incorrect. The answer is 228.
I knew it was one of the two.
And how many rounds were there?
I said seven.
He said seven. That would be incorrect as well.
Eight?
Or ten.
Ten. That sucks. Okay. That was weak.
Woof.
Yeah, that hurts. That hurts.
Woof.
What are you doing? You gotta... Woof. You're 0 for 2-2. Don't be woofing me. Who drafted Otis Thorpe with the number 9 pick in 1984? Was it the...
Sacramento Kings.
That would be incorrect. It was the Kansas City Kings.
Oh, no. That, hey, Rick.
Nope.
Rick,
nope.
Rick, Rick, dang, no, dang, you, no, 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 no,
dang, no, 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 this is what no, you
no,
get.
No, no, Rick,
this is what you Rick, get for jumping
no,
the gun.
Rick, no, 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 it's the same franchise. Rick,
no
I even said
pants.
Kings.
No, no, smarty
no,
pants.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, smarty pants.
Don't hate the player, pants. Rick.
No, I don't even need you to give me the option.
Don't
I don't even need to hear.
Can you get the
choice?
But
I don't need multiple choice because I'm so smart.
No, 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 I said the Kings. Sacramento Kings. Rick, technically speaking, I had to be technically
got me doing. You got me doing the president now. Wrong. Wrong. Wrong.
Hey.
If you can get that, if you can get that bonus one, you can get it back. That's the thing. That's the beauty of the bonus
Rick,
point.
Okay.
The bonus point
right. I supposed to be
Shane. No. Don't argue with me. Argue with Shane. Shane's the arbiter. Shane.
Hey, Shane.
He got it wrong,
King.
Right?
It was King.
Shane. Shane,
Kansas City Kings, Sacramento Kings, same franchise.
He got
same
it wrong.
Same franchise.
No, it's a different franchise, actually.
Oh, how?
That's
how?
A different franchise.
How?
Take him down. Take him down, Shane.
How?
Take him, Shane.
I mean, that's like saying Oklahoma City is still the Sonics, the Seattle Super Sonics.
I said, I said the Kings.
Right.
I said the Kings.
But it
the Kings
Kansas
franchise.
Drafted by the
Kansas City, though.
Pete Maravich got drafted
and
by the
And I should get bonus points because
drafted by
the Washington
Orleans.
Bullets is not the Washington Wizards.
Wizards.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, come on, man. It's not the same. It's not the same.
It's like saying the Fort Wayne Pistons aren't the Detroit Pistons. You know what?
They're not.
Right now, this is what's wrong. See, this is what's wrong with today. You guys don't know your history. You don't know the history of the game. You don't even know. You don't. You think the Sacramento Kings were the first? You know what? You don't even realize that the league started
in 19. It's like a totally different coach.
The league. The Minneapolis Lakers guys aren't the same as the LA Lakers.
This is the heart of it.
You know what,
BJ?
This is the heart.
BJ, this is the heart of it. You jumped the gun and you paid the price for it. That's what this is all about.
Hey,
talk about all this other history.
You jumped
the gun.
If you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat the same mistakes.
Jumped the gun. I'll give you. I'm going to give you the bonus. If you get the bonus question, if you get the bonus question correct, then
you're good. You said
we'll give you. Then we'll give you the point.
That's
who drafted Otis Thorpe? Excuse me.
Who drafted him?
Sorry. No.
Hey,
what college?
He was drafted by the NBA. He was drafted in the NBA. He was drafted in the NBA. You said
no.
No, that's what you said. No. He was drafted in the NBA.
I read the wrong one.
No.
I read the Kevin Willis one. I read the wrong one.
Hey, Steve Harvey. Get off the mic, Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey.
What college?
Steve Harvey.
What college did Otis Thorpe attend?
Hey,
what
Steve,
college?
Steve, come on, Steve.
What college did Otis Thorpe attend? Either one, college or university.
Steve.
What education? Which school was he attended when he was graduated? When he was drafted? What school?
All right, give me some choices.
No, I'm not giving you any choices. This is a bonus question. Pick one.
What college
did Otis?
It was not a university. It was a college.
Yeah, we'll give you that much.
I really don't. I Maryland. I have no idea.
Close.
That would be a university, but you were close. Providence.
Close.
What do you got for me?
Who was the number 6 pick after Charles Barkley in the 1984 draft? A, Alvin Robertson. B, Lancaster Gordon. C, Leon Wood. Or D, Melvin Turpin.
Oh, man. That is tough.
Oh.
All those guys were right around there.
And I want not the franchise that they played, the franchise before. Like, you know, Fort Wayne Pistons. You know, the Syracuse Knickerbockers. Stupid. You know what I mean? Whatever. Whoever they are. You know what I'm saying?
Stop.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to go Alvin Robertson. Did I get it right?
You did not get it right.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Yeah. He did not.
But he's asking you the bonus question now. Who actually drafted him?
Who drafted him?
I'm gonna say Seattle.
That would be incorrect. The answer is Melvin Turpin. And it wasn't by the Washington Wizards. It was by the Washington Bullets.
Yep, different franchise.
You know what? When I hear stuff, even Rick knows that. Rick even knows that. Hey, Rick, comfort that franchise. You know better, Rick. Rick, if you say something right now, I will never, ever come on a show again with you. If you say something, Rick, Shane gets away with it because he wasn't there, but you were there, and I saw you there, and you and I had dinner there. You and I were in the locker room there. You and I were with that franchise. I don't want to hear you say that, Rick. Rick, don't do that. Do not let Shane do this.
Shane, do we have a bonus question?
Yeah, you got a bonus question. All right.
What's the question?
Who can get this one? Who was drafted number 15 in the 1984 NBA draft just ahead of John Stockton?
Get choices or we just have to?
Nope. And I'll give you some choices if you want them, but okay, I'll give you choices. Michael Cage, Terrence Stansbury, or Jeff Turner?
I want to say Jeff Turner was a second-round pick. So... who were the other two?
Michael Cage and Terrence Stansbury.
I'm going to say Michael Cage.
Nope, it was Terrence Stansbury.
Damn! And it was one of... Damn it! You got another one?
One off. Yeah, I got one more. I got one more. What university did Kevin Willis get drafted out of?
Michigan State.
Rick, what say you?
Michigan State.
No, y'all both got that one. It's a tie.
No, it's no tie. Because I said it. Technically, go back in the show. I said okay. Kevin Willis in the last in Michigan State. So, Rick Bucher.
What?
I said it.
Look at you.
In the previous segment.
Put that bat down. You get that look in your eye, and then you get the bat. That would have really.
BJ looked like he about to jump through the
side. I'm going to go.
Put the bat down.
No, man, because
put
you know what?
Put the bat down.
And Rick, I just want to hear you say Washington Wizards and Washington Bullets aren't the same. Because that's going to be a major problem. Now, I know there was a big fight last weekend, you know what I mean, with Gregor and Mayweather. But if you say that, Rick, there is going to be some major problems.
We've reached a draw in the trivia challenge. Shane. It's true that our trivia knowledge is pretty pathetic, but all of this, none of this would have ever happened if Mr. Smarty Pants over there
had just
how often does he jump the gun and give an answer?
He got excited, man.
I got this one.
I knew this answer.
Oops. Trivia challenge, we remain tied. We will move on. Now it's time for the fourth quarter. John Collins, he tore it up in the summer league. Number 19 pick for Atlanta. It's a young team. He surprised a lot of people. We talked about what it is about his background, growing up in a military family, bouncing around the country, and how that might have prepared him to do what he did in summer league. I'm wondering exactly what that means. Listen to the interview and you'll find out. Now I'd like to welcome our very special guest to the BJ and Bucher podcast. One, John Collins out of Wake Forest, number 19 pick for the Atlanta Hawks. We were getting him right after a workout, a sort of a cross fitness workout, I would think. How much was done with the ball and how much of it was just a conditioning workout?
Yeah, what's going on? Like I said, I'm glad to be here, by the way. Yeah, it was like a cross fit type of workout. You know, like I said, climbing ropes, rock climbing, and zip lining. It was a fun day. There was actually no basketball involved. You know, they rewarded us. It was really fun. You know, they rewarded us for how hard we were getting after in the gym. So it was good to change up from the gym for once in a while. So.
No doubt. Cool. Try to keep that mental freshness. I wanted to talk to you, John, in particular because for two reasons. One, you've had just a very interesting life from being in a military family, born in Utah. I don't know exactly how much time you spent there, high school in Florida, but you've been a lot of places and you've done a lot of things. And I want to start there before we get to your tremendous performance in Summer League. Just how you think that those life experiences have shaped you or affected you as a basketball player?
It's been crazy because, you know, most people, you know, have one parent, mother or father. I had two in different branches, that albeit as well. You know, my dad was in the Navy. My mom was in the Air Force. They both did 20 plus years. They split, you know, divorced fairly early in my life. So it was usually me and mom for most of that time from there on out when I was about, you know, three or four. And me and mom and I, went all over the place. You know, we had a chance to live in Guam, Turkey. You know, we're from the U.S. Virgin Islands. You know, that's where most of my family is on my mother's side. So, you know, when 9/11 was going on, you know, I went to live with my grandmother in the Virgin Islands for about a year and a half. My mom stood over in Turkey and in that area during, you know, that time period. So it was a lot, man. And then after that, when mom came back home from there, we spent about 8 years in Tacoma, Washington, McCord Air Force Base. And then when mom finally retired after her 20 plus years, her stretch, we decided to settle in Florida because, you know, it's right, close near to the Virgin Islands. And
yeah.
If my family wasn't in the Virgin Islands, they were in Florida. So it's definitely given me a world view. You know, it's definitely matured me a lot being a military kid. And it's something I try to bring over to the court and really in any aspect in life, because, you know, when it was, you know, discipline and structure, you can get a lot of stuff done, which I've come to find out and see in my life.
Obviously, being from the Virgin Islands and going to Wake Forest and being a big man in basketball, naturally creates comparisons. I just wondered, how much of an influence was the Tim Duncan legacy on all the things on the path that you decided to take?
Honestly, I like to think of it as like a sort of like a destiny thing, not to put it like, you know, not to be cheesy or corny or anything, but that's really how it happened. You know, me as a kid, you know, I always idolized him because I got that Virgin Islands blood in me. And honestly, it wasn't even about Tim. Like, Tim didn't really contact me that much. You know, Tim's a real quiet guy.
Yeah.
I did get a chance to meet him a couple of times when I was at Wake. But before, you know, it really didn't play that big of a factor. It was more of Coach Manning, who was a big role in my decision to go to Wake. So it's just more of, a coincidence, I would say. And, you know, look at here. So, you know, I always cheer, he's the next Tim. I welcome those, but that's a big standard to live up to. But, you know, I like to just say it's destiny, that type of thing, that where, you know, two things happen simultaneously like that. Obviously, I'm from the States. Tim is, you know, born and raised in the Virgin Islands. So we have our similarities and our differences, but the basketball ones are, you know, almost spot on.
What was the most important thing that you gained or grasped or came to understand about the game at the next level? And obviously there's still another level to go to, but the pro game, what was it that you figured out this summer that you think is going to be the most valuable to you going forward?
For me, it wasn't the speed of the game, which most guys like to say. It was more of the physicality and how much you can use it, because, you know, I like to say the ACC is a pretty boys league. They it's a lot of very nice offense and potent offense and, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, they like to let the offensive players play. So when I got to the next level and I could see how physical I could get and how physical other guys can get, it gave me a new realization of how important strength is, because, you know, in college, I can play against stronger guys, and it wouldn't really mean that much to try to get them in foul trouble or whatever case may be, because I'm quicker than them. Now I guys at the next level who are just as strong or stronger and probably close to near or above athleticism. So that physicality really stuck out to me. Trust me, I got a long way to go. Got to get stronger, but it's just not all about athleticism now.
Before I let you go, you're joining a Hawks team that has had a little bit of a sea change. I mean, they're going young and trying to build off of a new nucleus. How do you feel about going into this situation, that this is going to be your introduction to the NBA?
It's cool for me. You know, I'm obviously in a great city. I got a great group of guys with me. We just, you know, had a bunch of fun. So I know the camaraderie and chemistry is going to be there on the court. And, you know, the front office changes, that's cool to see. And, you know, and it's not really a big problem for me, because, you know, I'm coming right into it necessarily. So, you know, it's not something I need to change, or whatever the new philosophy is that's the first thing I'm going to learn. So, obviously there's a transition from rooks to the NBA, but I think that front office won't be a problem at all for me. I love those guys, and most of them are out here today as well. So, and then, you know, we're going, like you said as well, we're going young. So I'm going to have a big opportunity to come out and play and, just do my thing. And I think that's big time for me. Is, you know, most guys, most rooks want to play. And I think if I do the things I need to do, coach will let me, you know, get off the court a little bit and play as a rook. So I definitely think I'll have that opportunity. So, like I said, I'm loving the atmosphere here in Atlanta, loving the people, loving my teammates and my staff. So, I'm looking forward to a good year. Obviously, we're going to do what we can do this year in the East, man. So, I'm excited. We got guys coming back like Dennis. I'm excited to play with. And then we got a bunch of new acquisitions. Luke was out here today. We got Dwayne. I'm just happy to be on the squad now and ready to get this NBA career started.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I'm looking forward to seeing you with that Hawks crew. Loved what I saw in Las Vegas Summer League, and just wishing you all the best. I'm really excited and confident that you're going to make the most of this opportunity, and appreciate you taking a little time and sharing a little bit of your story with the listeners of the BJ and Buca podcast.
You said before, thank you for having me on, and yes, sir, hopefully we have a great year at the organization this year, taking another step forward. So thanks again. Appreciate you for having me on, man. Thank you.
You got it, John.
Hope you enjoyed that. Listen, if you are listening to this through iTunes, be sure to subscribe and rate and leave a review. It's important to us. You can also check out our website, bjnbuecker.com. And as always, follow the show on Twitter at BJ and Buecker. In the meantime, hope you enjoyed the podcast. I know we went a little long today, but it was all good stuff. Thank you, BJ, as always.
And before we sign off, I'd just like to say, our thoughts and prayers want to go out to the people down in Houston.
Absolutely.
You know, with the hurricane here and, over the weekend. And it's just been, just watching this, it's been amazing. But our thoughts and prayers to all the people down there. And we're just hoping for the best. And but it's been, just watching it on the news, it's been unbelievable.
Well said. Agree wholeheartedly. Stay safe, stay dry down in Texas, and we will talk to you next week. Thanks for tuning in.